So look at the perspective of Imam Khomeini, who was ustad of Arafat. So many of his students are great Arafat now. He's ustad, a teacher of different Arafat. Look at his perspective. This perspective of an arif is always different from the rest. Their view is always different. They have a different vision. They have a different eyesight. They see the things. They see the realities. This kind of thing we may never have paid attention if an arif doesn't tell us. We don't see the realities. So he says, it is a matter of, let me read the text first, one of his statements. It is a matter of surprise for him to find that those of the people who did not feel that they are in the presence of Allah during their salat and prayers, how would they allow themselves to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? How would they allow themselves to say that statement? What is he trying to say? Okay. He's trying to say that basically, when do you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? In the salam, after the tashahhud, isn't that right? So whom are we addressing when we are saying Assalamu alaikum? The mu'mineen, the people. So when you are addressing the mu'mineen and the people, and you are addressing them and saying Assalamu alaikum, may the peace of Allah be on you, that means the mu'mineen. So what does the arif is trying to say? He's trying to say, now you already got transferred from the huzur and presence and mahbar and presence of Allah, the divine domain, and now you got transferred, you transferred yourself into the presence of the community and people. And that's the reason why in Islam, in the salam segment, we say Assalamu alaikum, because now we are transferring ourselves in the presence of the people, so we say them Assalamu alaikum. Isn't that right? So he says, for those of the people who have never been in the presence of Allah, because before entering into the segment of salam, before entering into the segment of salam, your qalb, your soul was never feeling the fear of God. You were never in the presence of Allah. Why would you allow to say Assalamu alaikum? Because you, even in the beginning of your prayers, you were with the community, with the people, thinking of things of this dunya. Your imagination was wandering here and there, thinking about this world and this people and this community and this material things of this dunya. You were never in the presence of Allah. This statement is suitable for a person who was, before saying the statement, he was present in the presence of Allah, and now he gets transferred into the worldly presence of the people. So now he would say to them, by addressing them, Assalamu alaikum. Isn't that right? We would have never thought that, because we don't have that perspective. So when we are praying, we are in the presence of Allah till the time of tashahhud. We are in the presence of Allah all the time, 24/7, 365, especially in the prayers, khususan. So after tashahhud, we enter into the grand gathering, we talk, say salam to the Prophet, so we find ourselves in the presence of the Holy Prophet. We must feel his presence. And then we say at the end, Assalamu alaikum. May the peace of Allah be on you, all of you mu'mineen. So now you are now in the presence, in the gathering of the people. So you are transferred from the gathering and presence of Allah into the presence of the people. This is suitable for those who were in the presence of Allah earlier.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We have a few more minutes remaining for this one. Let me mention this also. And it's good that we finish it a little bit earlier. So another classification of the wajibah in the salat, we have another classification which is important to remember. The wajibat and the prayers are also classified in this form. Some wajibs are wajib al-asli, whereas certain things are wajib al-tam'i. Wajib al-asli is the original wajib, which is independently wajib, not depending on any other wajib. Whereas the wajib al-tam'i is the wajib which is originally not wajib, but it is a dependent wajib. It becomes wajib for some other wajib, for the sake of some other wajib. So we need to realize that some of the wajibat, the prayers are wajib asli, and some others are wajib complete. They are dependent wajibs. So here are the list of some of those wajibe asli and wajibe tabqi. I think we will explain it in the next session. It will be
in 15 minutes.
The first one is the niyat of qurbat, closeness to Allah. So basically, this list which I am mentioning here, all of them are wajib-e tabqeed. The list that we are going to learn, all of the list is wajib-e tabqeed. That means originally it's not wajib, but it is a dependent wajib, that because of some other wajib, it becomes wajib. Originally itself is not a wajib. What are that? Niyat of qurbat. All these things are wajib because we are praying. So it's not independent wajib, it's a dependent wajib. Niyat of qurbat, we do it for the sake of the closeness of Allah. We are His servants and slaves. And He has commanded us, imtithalan li amrihi, for the sake of obeying His command. Everything that we do for the sake of obeying His command, so that we can become, by obeying His command, we can become close to Allah. Not close physically, because God is not a body, close spiritually, and get the spiritual closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this niyat is not required, of course, to be said by our tongue orally. You don't need to say the niyat with your tongue. Niyat is never oral. Niyat is always in the qalb, in the heart. You don't have to say it. Some people keep on repeating the whole sentence before doing wudu. You know, I'm doing this wudu for the sake of my prayers. Wajib furbatan ilallah. You don't need to say any of those statements. Even if you say it, it's not sufficient. Let me say like this, that would be a better way of putting it. Even if you say it is not sufficient, because this is not the definition of the niyat and intention. The definition of the niyat in our Islamic jurisprudence says the intention found in your soul. So it doesn't matter you say or you don't say. You don't say. Even if you say it 1,000 times, but your soul has a different intention inside it, that will be counted. So even if you say something, so what? That was never considered to be a criteria anyway. So it's better to focus on what is found in the qalb. The common example which I always give in the fifth classes, that let's suppose if you have a bunch of your friends coming in your house after 10 minutes, and so you go and do the wudu quickly, so that after 10 minutes your friends would come and you know there will be the time of prayers will also arrive. They will say, well, let's pray together. So you will say, well, I have wudu. So they would appreciate you, oh, how this is such a nice moment, he always stays on wudu. So before your friends come, you go and do the wudu ahead of time, you know, with the niyat in the heart. The intention of your heart was that, well, after 10 minutes my friends will come and then the time of dhuhr will arrive and they will ask me, let us pray together. I would say, well, you go and do wudu, I already have wudu. So then they would appreciate me, well, what a nice moment, see, he always stays on wudu. Now, with this intention in your heart and your soul, you go to the washroom and you say, I do my wudu qurbatan ilallah. Even if you say it 1,000,000,000 times with your tongue, the real intention was in your soul, which was different than this. So it's irrelevant what you say. Whether you say or you don't say, it doesn't make any difference. That was not the definition of any intention. Intention was already defined in the Sharia, something which is found in your qalb, in your heart. That was the real intention. You don't need to say anything. The criteria to judge what our mujtahids have mentioned in their books of fatwa is that if somebody asks you in the middle of the ibadah, hey, what are you doing? You are able to reply back immediately exactly what you are doing. That would show that what your intention was. Say if I am in the middle of my maghrib prayers, of course I cannot reply back in the middle of the maghrib, but we are just supposing that if I was allowed to reply, I would be able to say, well, I am praying my maghrib prayers, you know, which is adha, within the time, it's not qada, qurbatan ilallah. If I am able to reply back immediately without thinking, then I have the intention of doing that. So, but if somebody asks you and you start, oh, what am I doing? Okay, let me think. Well, I am praying, let me see, what prayer I pray? Is it Fajr or is it Maghrib? So you get stuck. This means that you didn't have the intention. You are unable to reply back. So if you are able to reply back to a person who would ask you, you can immediately reply exactly what you were doing. That means you have the intention. That's it. This is how we would judge.
So niyat of qurbat is a wajib-e tawheed. All these are wajib-e tawheed. Dependent wajibs. They are wajib because of the prayers. The takbiratul ihram is also, of course, wajib al tawheed. Because of prayers, we do the first tawheed. So, it's not wajib to raise your hands. This is a mustahab. Raising your hand, which is mustahab, that you raise your hand like this, you know, Allahu Akbar. And your hands are like this, all both of the hands, fingers joined, thumb joined with the palm. And you face your palm towards the Qibla, and you bring the tip of your fingers close to the ear, you know, this part of the ear, ear lobes. So by the time your hands, your fingers reach close to the ear, you are done with saying Akbar. So some people like hold their hand like this, Allahu Akbar. This is not the way, this is not mustahab. What is mustahab is that you say Allahu Akbar. By the time you say Akbar, your hands reach here. That's the right way of saying that. Now, raising the hands is mustahab in Islam, it's not wajib. Even if you don't raise your hand, you're just standing like this and you say Allahu Akbar, that's okay. Your prayers will still start. When you did the wajib, now you missed one mustahab thing, that was mustahab. You would have gotten more thawab if you did it, but you missed the mustahab. So raising hands is not wajib. Of saying Allahu Akbar is wajib in the beginning. That's the only Allahu Akbar which is wajib in the prayers. All the rest of the Allahu Akbar, all the rest of the takbirat are mustahab in the prayers. They are not wajib. There is only one wajib Allahu Akbar in prayers, that is Takbiratul Ihram. And the third dependent wajib is Suratul Fatiha. Of course, we read Suratul Fatiha. The Prophet has said in his hadith that Suratul Fatiha is the summary of the entire Quran. The most important surah of the Holy Quran. It is called Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. And also the Prophet has said that La Salata, that's the hadith of the Holy Prophet, La Salata, Illa, and the Fatiha bin Kitab. There is no prayers without the Fatiha. If there is, you have to pray the Fatiha, Fatihatul Kitab, Suratul Fatiha. Without that, it's not a prayer. The Fatiha is compulsory. It's a component, compulsory component. We have to say it. For those of the people who do not have the correct Arabic pronunciation, it's wajib for them to learn it as soon as possible. And for the time being, when they are in the process of learning it, they should go and pray in Jama'at so that their recitations and zikr, at least their Suratul Fatiha, and the next surah will be recited by the Imam. So that will be the better option for this time duration. And even if they are reading the zikr wrongfully, then of course they would be required to repeat their prayers for this portion also. The fourth wajib-e-tabi and dependent wajib is any second surah other than the Surah Al-Azaim. Surah Al-Azaim are those surahs of Holy Quran where there is the ayat of sajda. We call them Surah Al-Azaim. So you cannot read one of those surahs in the prayers which has an ayat of sajda. Reading the Surah Al-Azaim is not allowed, it's not jaiz in Islam. You have to choose from any other surah of Quran after Fatiha. So those surahs which have wajib sajdas are these, surah number 32, 41, 53 and 96. There are some other surahs which has ayat of sajda, but those are mustahab. It's mustahab to do sajda. So wajib sajdas are only in these four. So you cannot read these four surahs. Other than these four, you can choose any surah. If you want, you can read Surah Al-Baqarah also. That's your choice. So, Then we have the Vajibhya Tapti number 5, which is Qiyam, standing position during the prayers. This is also Vajibhya Tapti. And Vajibhya Tapti Qiyam also includes the point that when you are standing straight. So don't stand like this. This is not what Islam is asking. Islam is asking us to stand straight. That means giving equal weight to both the feet. When you're doing the sajda also, we give equal weight to all the seven parts of sajda. The forehead, the two palms, and then the knees, two knees, and the two thumb toes. We give equal weight to all seven parts of the body in the sajda. And likewise, when we are standing, you know, we are doing the qiyam, in the standing position, we give equal weight to both the feet. You cannot stand giving more weight to one feet and standing like this inclined position or like this, you know. It's not going to work, you know, or anything like this. You have to be straight, giving equal weight to both the feet. And then standing straight, which is, not tilted. And the seventh one is not taking support or reclining onto something. You cannot recline, you cannot stand in a prayer right like this. You cannot pray like this or taking support over something. You have to stand without taking support. Standing straight, you know, I remember when Ayatollah Luqma Araki, such a shameful Fuqaha of Mujtahideen, the teacher of the Fuqaha, such a senior Mujtahid who died in the age of 103. He used to lead his Jamaat prayers in the Madrasatul Khairiyya, the Madrasa Khairiyya, the historic Madrasa of Qum. Studied and talked because the Khalid and the revolution started from his speech in the basement of Madrasa Khairiyya. So, he, Ayatollah Araki, used to lead the prayers in Madrasa Khairiyya. I remember Ayatollah Araki was so weak, he used to walk like this on the street. But at the time of prayers and Jamaat, you know, I remember he used to very slowly to raise his back very slowly, very slowly. And everybody was waiting behind him and watching it very slowly, very slowly. And then finally, because he was 103 years old, very slowly. And then he used to make his body straight and then said, Allahu Akbar, stay quiet. And then go back like this, and then start reading Suratul Fatiha. Because he cannot stand any longer. But it's wajib to have Takbirat al-Ihram in the Qiyam position, if you can. So even a 103-year-old Mujtahid was trying hard to make himself straight first, for the sake of that wajib, and then he used to continue the rest, because he cannot continue standing, that was beyond his reach. So this is just about a little tip of that standing straight is very important. So some people have a little bit pain and then they just go for a standing position, sitting position, or we have to realize that we should do as much as we can. Whatever you can, you should do it. If you can stay standing for some time at least for 5 minutes, you can read just the Fatiha, and for the next surah it's not durable for you. Okay, at least read the Fatiha in the standing position. When it becomes unbearable, then you can basically sit later on, if that's what you can. You cannot stand for the time. So now the time is over. We will continue the eighth one, inshallah, in the next segment. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.